You better listen to a sermon by Apostle Aramel Sai. Apostle Aramel Sai is the founder of Remnant Christian Network based in Makati, Benue State, Nigeria, who strive for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity.
The Hyper Grace teaching says that the Holy Ghost does not convict believers of sin. I know I jumped D, I'll come back to D. But he said we should start with E and C, take note of when he will walk in. So he's going to walk in. So the hyper grace preachers say that the Holy Spirit does not convict believers of sin. Oh, you already know that's not true. That's not true because of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Hallelujah. We have a graphic situation of that scenario in Acts chapter 5, beginning from verse 1, there is a graphic scenario in the book of Acts chapter 5, from verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart? Who did he lie to? So who was acting? They lied to the Holy Ghost. Why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? Whilst it remaineth, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now, you see, the reason why I did not take scriptures that speak about conviction, and I gave a scenario, so that you can see the grand illustration of how that a man that says that the Holy Ghost does not convict a Christian of sin is so blatantly wrong that he must be speaking under an inspiration which is not God. This is a visible scenario of the Holy Spirit bringing out the secrets in the hearts of men and judging men by reason of things that they conceived in their heart that nobody was aware of, that they went on to execute, and then suddenly the revelational dimensions of God goes to work, the deceit in the hearts of men is revealed, and this thing was not done in the closet, it was done in public, in the public space. Hallelujah. My reading has not ended. Verse 5. So the Holy Spirit took time to explain why they were wrong. He said, before you sold the land was yours. When you sold the land, it was still in thy power to decide what to do with the money. It was still yours. And then you now come before God. Hallelujah. At the time you came before God, you were no longer in control of the show, because you brought God into the equation. So something else has taken control of the matter. You can no longer be innocent having brought this case before God. And the Holy Spirit unveiled the treachery, the deceit. It was in the public space, so everybody was seeing it. And after his evil was revealed, see, God is so meticulous. It's just like the court of law. Hallelujah. Brings the charges, brings the issues. And then when these charges were raised, Ananias became totally defenseless. He could not deny that that was the case. That means he accepted that that is what he did. And the Holy Spirit did not stop at the fact that he uncovered the treachery, which is conviction according to court register. He went on to implement judgment, which is what? He killed him. He was convicted and then judgment was passed. What was the result of the judgment? Who is responsible for this work? The Holy Ghost. I want to help us quickly, because just like I said, having studied the teachings of the hypergrace movement, I've realized that they have totally attempted to cut off the organic side of our salvation. You see, when a believer comes to a point where he believes that God does not convict him of sin, so even though he feels bad, having gone into sin, say, no, that's not God. That's not God. It is a sure way of getting him to become a reprobate, where his conscience is no longer sensitive to the promptings and the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, the fact that you become uncomfortable because you do wrong is a sign that you are normal. It's a sign that you are still a healthy Christian. And it's a blessing to be uncomfortable, so that you can begin to make adjustments quickly. Now, these guys deny every form of organic operation. The organic operation of Christ is denied, so as to make us totally insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in our practicalities and in our lives, the impute of the Holy Spirit does not exist, because we have not given him the authority to be the Lord of our hearts. That's the level of treachery that we are up against. It's a treachery that wants to extinguish every form of intimacy, every form of fellowship, and even issues of conviction of the Holy Spirit. When we go astray, it's a problem to these people, because they want to cut away the spirit element that is part of our navigation on the path of spiritual progress. Meanwhile, how can you navigate on the path of spiritual progress without the input of the Holy Ghost? How is that possible? And the only thing that they present is the logos that is dissociated from the spirit, and the capacity of that armory is that it kills. The logos kills without the spirit. Now, the difference between the written word of God and the living word of God is what we call the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's organic. Are you with me? It's organic. So I can be studying the word of God today, and then suddenly a scripture leaps out. It leaps out. Because there is no way you can communicate an experience with words. An experience is two-dimensional. Words have depth. An experience is three-dimensional. Words are two-dimensional. It's just like a picture captures two dimensions, but the reality is three dimensions. So something is lost in transit when you translate that reality to a picture. There's a dimension that is lost. That's how words are. That's how weak words are. Words do not have the third dimension to give it life. Are you with me? So if you are going to interface with the complete word of God, what we call the complete word of God is the letters plus the spirit. Now, what these guys are trying to do is to remove every form of spirit protocol, so that you are a being, a Christian of the letter. This is a graphic illustration of the Holy Spirit convicting a believer of sin. In fact, the Holy Ghost himself, are you with me? Notice that Brother Peter said something. He said, Ananias, how has Satan... Because he can't factor it, he can't figure it out. How has Satan so filled thy heart? So as you have the capacity, the ability to lie against the Holy Ghost. How did it happen? You were in prayer meeting yesterday. You fasted with us when we did 70 days dry. You were on the fasting page. You were on the evangelism trail. You were carrying the cavalry of the equipment to set things on the crusade ground for a blast in the city. At what point? How has Satan? That was a million-dollar question that was not answered. How has Satan? So in that exposition, it would take the Satan filling his heart for him to come to that point of being bold enough to stand face to face in the presence of God and lie against the Holy Ghost. So Peter, operating under the Spirit of God, said, it's not man, it's not me you lied to. See, this space now that you came with this your gra-gra, the thing has passed from me. It was God you were interfacing with. He brought all the articles of the deceit out and administered what? Judgment. What was the impact on the believers around? The Bible revealed that fear, the fear of God. Okay. Now, you see, the Bible says that the Lord is known by the judgment that what? He executed. And there's a scripture I want to raise to us quickly. Hallelujah. Because I checked it in the Greek. I checked the Greek word for judge. Eh? Convict or judge. Right? Then I ran a search on that Greek word every time it was used in the Bible. And it brought so many assortments of scripture. Inclusive of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17. For the time is come that judgment. That word judgment there is the same word convict. The Bible says that the time is come that judgment must begin from where? At the house of God. I don't have time in this teaching to show us four levels of this judgment. No time. I'm not talking about judgment of unbelievers. I'm talking about judgment that must begin from where? From the house of God. The first layer of that judgment is that one that the grace preachers want to deny that it doesn't exist, which is the Holy Spirit making you uncomfortable. That is conviction, convicting you of a wrong deed. That's the first, that's the most basic level. I hope, hallelujah. I hope you saw that in Acts chapter 5, God killed as an act of judgment. And he killed in his house, not in the market. That's another level. That's another layer. But the first and the basic layer of judgment that will begin in the house of God is the layer of convicting the hearts of men. When they stray out, when there's an angular shift. You know that when God spoke to Moses and gave him the law, he said, do not turn to the left. Do not turn to the right. That's what we call here an angular shift. You see, when you do a little turning to the left, 18% turning, that's an acute angle. Abi? You know, if you draw that 18% deviation, you draw it for 30 kilometers, it will become like. Now, you see, if we have a 18% deviation, angle of deviation, all right, 18%, and you take it for 32 kilometers, if we are measuring it against the perpendicular line, you know we have kilometers in view. That's how error is. A slight shift of heart will generate an action that is so deviant from God after 2 years, after 3 years, if it's left unchecked. And the reason why the Holy Spirit needs to convict us is so that we'll not be guilty of angular shifts. If not, he would have waited for us when you have shifted fully. Then you say, okay, remember from whence thou hast fallen. Hallelujah. These judgments and these convictions is for our own good. For our own good. So he will convict him. Many, many years ago, like 20 years ago, there was this friend I had, and the guy was so enthusiastic about ministry work. So enthusiastic about ministry work. He wanted to do ministry work. That in itself is not bad. But the thing that was bad about his own zeal is that he will not want to wait for God to give him a commandment. He wants to take off like a tornado. So he felt that such as us were too slow, were waiting, trying to hear God. He said, are we not convinced that this is what God wants to do? What are you waiting, you know? So we had our differences, but we're still friends somehow. And then the guy now, I came one day and I said, see, God has revealed to him that me, I will be the ogre, and he will follow me. And he already had, he said, this is the name of the ministry. Me, I will be ogre. He will follow me at the back. And all, as he was saying it, I lost my peace. I lost my peace. I lost my peace. And the way I lost the peace, I knew that kind of peace is hard to find back. So what I did was I just left the place, went to Benue Links, and left town. When I left town, I changed my line so that we will not have contact for a very long time. You know what? I was trying to deliver myself from what? Angular shift. See, you take a move that is unfounded in an utterance in God, and before you will not recover. Many times what the Holy Ghost does before you begin to take the move, he makes you feel uncomfortable. It's a primary layer of judgment, of conviction. Meanwhile, the hyper grace preacher says that God does not convict a believer. If they were able to delete Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, their case might have some substance. But that's a graphic picture of a conviction scenario with all the symptoms of a court of law. Hallelujah. Good. At least you have seen that one. And I said that there are four layers when the Bible says that the time has come for judgment. And the word judgment is the same word for what? Conviction. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Not in the market. Not in the house of assembly. But in the house of God. I said that if I had time, would have built it further. It's deep. Would see the four layers of judgment that God wants to introduce into the house of God. If it is true that we are under the government of the Holy Spirit, one of the things he does to us is that he convicts us when we go out of line. And it's a blessing, it's a sign of spiritual health that you can still be convicted. Because I have seen some brethren that the Holy Ghost has abandoned them. Their spiritual senses are no longer functional. The blessing of conviction is no longer in view. And these people are trying really hard to bring every believer to that point of a reprobate mind where he is the reference to himself, whether or not it's accurate. Meanwhile, the reference is Christ that is in us, who is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I see you are trying so hard and you have abandoned the task. Allow this, my harp, to play. Allow this harp. Glory. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Alright. They also said that Jesus taught mixed law and grace. We can find the perspective for that, whether it is true in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2. Is it true that Jesus taught both mixture of both law and grace? And what we must understand is that the message of Jesus is the message of the kingdom. Is that clear? Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. Remember how we started? We said that we have not done justice to God except we identify God as operating and running a kingdom. And in order to co-opt man to become functionaries in his kingdom, after the fall of man, he developed a system, an inclusive system that can co-opt man into his kingdom realities. The first system he put in place is a system of law. And the law system was defective in that it did not have the capacity to impart life. Because of that, he decided to establish another system. And all of these systems are relative to kingdom participation. It's not dissociated from kingdom participation, but because of what? Kingdom participation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible says, seeing that we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably in reverence and in godly fear. For our God is what? Consuming fire. So grace is relevant with respect to the kingdom, kingdom service, kingdom life, kingdom participation, kingdom operations. It is relevant. It gives us the capacity to be able to live up to the standard of the expectation of the kingdom. And it happens to be that the kingdom of the immortals cannot be moved. The standards of God will not be changed for any generation, for any people, for any nation, whatsoever. It's a constant. It was put in place by a decree. And God happens not to be a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Are you still with me? Now, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. We'll look at. Okay, can you go to. Okay, let's do Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 1. I'll read from verse 1 to 4. It said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by who? So you underline the Lord there. It was the Lord that initiated the message of grace in his bountiful form. If the Lord had preached law, then the Pharisees would not be on his neck. He preached grace. That our entry into the kingdom must be by grace. That's why he forgave that woman that was caught in adultery. The law cannot furnish the will of God in this matter. So he gave her forgiveness, which is one of the dividends of grace. Hallelujah. Go and sin no more. The only way you will not sin again is because you have found grace to live the life of the kingdom above the dominion and the power of sin. Grace is so that we can keep up with the expectations of the kingdom. And the Bible says that this great salvation, and you know, it is needful for you to understand that what God calls great, is great. Do you still remember the great tribulation? The Bible calls it. is great. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee. And so, in this scripture, it's revealing to us that salvation is a great matter. And this salvation, because of how vast it was, the best instructor had to be the one to unravel it. So it was no lesser a personality than the Lord himself that commissioned the entrenchment, the establishment of the philosophy of the reality of salvation. There was, I don't have time. Okay, I have time. Let me digress. I need to show you how great this matter is. It was the Lord himself that had to give perspective about these issues. The thing that God has been seeking to offer humankind all this while. It was truncated by the fall. Salvation became necessary in order to restore us back into kingdom participation. The initial thing God gave us was kingdom. So you see, the vastness of salvation, the vastness of his redemption, the vastness of his recovery had to be articulated by the Lord himself. It was after he had laid the groundworks of the issues pertaining to our salvation and the potentials available to us on the account of receipt of this great, great instrument. Then the other people, the other apostles that received ministry from him could not continue. But the Lord himself had to lay the foundation for the establishment of the teaching concerning salvation. And it is obvious to you and me that salvation, if it were possible for salvation to be by the law, then grace would not have been introduced. So how the major, are you with me? If we are to draw two major ingredients in Jesus' teaching, one, are from this scripture he preached about salvation. From this scripture, he also preached about the kingdom. These were the two things Jesus preached about. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is seen as the king, the king savior. We have seen it before, 33 times in the book of Matthew, Jesus speaks up, uses this phrase, the kingdom of heaven. It was in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We see Jesus unveiling the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. The spirit of the text called Matthew is a text that reveals how people that are operating under the government of God, which is situated and has its bearing in the third heavens, how they operate upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. You will now find things in the book of Matthew chapter 5, things that God calls blessing. Sometimes you might wonder whether God is saying the truth. Because he will say you are blessed when you are persecuted. Because in the eyes of men, that may not look like a blessing, it might look like a curse. But you see, from the perspective of reality, which is the kingdom of God, if for any reason you were persecuted because of your faith in Jesus, because of your assignment that was granted you to execute upon the face of the earth for the kingdom, your GP rises in heaven. Your possibilities in heaven, they shine like light. And the God that knows the truth, that's why salvation is great. You cannot understand the full scope of our engagement by reading civil engineering. It's something deeper than that. So he gave us the constitution of the kingdom of heaven in the book of Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, he now begins to reveal how kingdom people relate. How they relate with mammon, with money. How they relate with people. How their conduct, their secret life. Their life with God. Their life with men. Their life, oh my God. It was when we studied that we came up with a summary. Based on Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Because that's the book of the kingdom. That the Christian, he sustains a lifestyle that is secretly pure toward God. Please help me preach it to your neighbor. Secretly pure toward God. Now, some of you like to make people feel that you are pure. The way you talk, the way you act, the way you appear. So that people will have a notion that you are pure. But if you have read the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, 7, you will find out that what bothers God is not that your advertisement. There are many things that God will say, shut the door. Because it's not for men to know. A Christian must be secretly pure. Toward God, secretly pure. Your purity is toward God, not toward men. God, I hope you have read that scripture. The foundation of God standeth strong. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his, because that's a secret matter. You can be doing external purity and God does not know, there's no trace. So there are several things in a Christian's life that is secret. It's not up for display. It's like roots in the plant. Roots are hidden life. Hallelujah. It's not up for display. The life of a preacher behind the pulpit is 10% of his work. 90% of what makes him who he is root. The secret life. If all you are is on display in the market, you are weak and wicked. Hallelujah. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, we see that the Christian is mercifully kind towards others. Because what love is that it makes us vulnerable. How can you explain that if somebody slaps you here and you don't refrain from him, you still give him the opportunity to slap you again if he has that intention? We are compelled by love to make ourselves vulnerable. To make ourselves what? So he's secretly kind toward, secretly pure toward God, is mercifully kind towards others. And number three, who remembers number three? He is righteously strict to himself. There are several other laws that we adopt that are beyond the Ten Commandments that he will accept, he will adopt it, so that he is righteously strict on himself. There are several places you will never see me by mistake. And as the Lord helps me and I grow more in him, the number of places I go to will still reduce. the number of numbers on my handset. Because as you begin to grow in the spirit, what he does is that he sucks you into himself. You begin to lose appetite for many things. And then your path, the only path that is left for you to walk, becomes narrow. Ladies, you might start out with a beautiful face, but as you grow older, it's expected that your beauty transports from your face to your heart. Becomes an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. The things you celebrate now, you will soon find out that it's not a currency in this corridor of which we speak. But enjoy it while it lasts anyway. But you'll find out before it is too long that your face, as charming as it is, 5 weeks after marriage will not move your husband. You will know you need more than face. You need more than that. Hallelujah. The more you grow, the more you love him, the more you become his slave, the more he puts bondages of commitments upon your life. It's a place that if you don't have grace, you cannot be. You will die. You will die. You can't bear that yoke. It's only by grace you can survive. It is so that we can comply to kingdom demands that grace was made available. That's the book of Matthew. Is Jesus that preached all this? How you relate to money? Money has a tendency. Mammon, operating through the medium of exchange, has a tendency to possess your soul and be installed upon your soul as a deity that commands your worship. Hallelujah. And so before God empowers a man, he must ensure that the man is in proper orientation, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then before he allows things, so that things will always be behind, following. Because if he makes things a vision, his soul will be possessed. Mammon will become his God. And we have found many people that have sung the tunes of Mammon, that have walked the path of Mammon. In fact, in the school of the prophets, there are two ways to prosecute prophetic ministry. One of the ways is called the way of Balaam. That's prophecy and money. You prophesy for money. I say, all right, and my own prophecy, when I prophesy in the daytime, comes to pass in the evening time. But you pay a fine. Glory. That's prophecy and money. That's the way of Balaam. It's a style of ministry. That Mammon is the operating system. Your preferences, what you accept. Ahead of a man of God, you need to have Range Rover, the edition of that year. I know you know him. Range Rover of that year to pick him from the airport. All the navigations he does in your city will be with what? Range Rover Sport. Somebody say glory. You know, when the alignment of the seat, the alignment of the seat in Range Rover, you must, I know you have not taken note. It has affinity. It cares for the spinal cord. So you yeah, over. you need Range Rover, not the 2014 edition. No. We are talking about the current range. See, the current range, not even the current one, the one before the one. I've not seen the new one, but the old one has handkerchief, umbrella. There's a place you press, and an umbrella will drop. To drop out. Glory. It has a functional navigation system. It has cameras under, behind, and in front. You can hardly have an accident with Range Rover Sport. He sees the back and he sees the front, and he displays it on the screen. Oh my God. You can hook it up to MTN. You can take a SIM card and it will bring the map from Google. It's assigned a serial number in Google. It will bring the map of your city. You cannot be lost. And guess what? It cannot be stolen. Yeah. Because right from the satellite there, they'll switch it off and inform the police where it is. It's visible. It's visible on the internet. Oh my, you don't understand what I'm talking about. That means you cannot be kidnapped. And if you lock the door, even people have have utensils from Ogugu Shrine, they cannot. The guy says, when I come into your city, I only ride in one brand, Range Rover. It's called the way of Balaam. It start today. When Balaam saw that, this, which prophecy we can sell it? These things we can sell it. He's no longer in charge. Mammon is the one telling him how to monetize grace. So the statement that Jesus made, freely have you received, he has negated that. Say, how will you be free? It means we are not business, we are not enterprising. And various formulas have been adopted. That is Jesus the King speaking in the book of Matthew. In the book of Mark, I don't want to take you through that route. You will see the things he spoke about kingdom life, kingdom living, about allegiance to God, living from the reference of heaven as an ambassador, like a pilgrim walking through this age of darkness with an illumination in your heart, powered by the Spirit of Christ. It is from that perspective that you judge all things, whether they be true or whether they be false. Jesus preached the kingdom and he preached salvation. Hallelujah. Now, if we go to the book of Acts of the Apostles, you are going to find the first man that the Bible called an evangelist. What was his message? Acts 8. Give me that scripture. The first man in the Bible. What was his what? So how can you claim that Jesus preached the law? One of the reasons is this. When Jesus said, go, thy sins are forgiven. They accept that. But the next statement, go and sin no more. There's a problem. Meanwhile, Paul says, shall we continue in sin? Yes, my God. If it's not a spirit of perversion, a spirit of that is speaking through them, they have asterisk Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, verse 12 to 15, where I just read. If not that, in that portion of scripture, the Bible says, if you forgive not men your trespasses, your heavenly Father is there. So how is it that me and you can be having a grudge and I want to have fellowship? That our grudge will interface with my own fellowship. So God is saying that if I have value for my fellowship with him, release that much. When you begin to move into the kingdom, you begin to see there are several laws that you'll be subjected to. The Holy Ghost can come to you and say, if you want to find me from henceforth, look for me in the night. It's not written in scripture that God is found in the night. But that is, apart from the Ten Commandments, he has added an 11th one for you. Now, he didn't tell your wife, look for me in the night. He told you. So your wife can still find him at 5 o'clock, at 4:30, at 2:30. But you will only find him. Because we have not realized that grace is supposed to make us participate in the kingdom. And the kingdom is a sphere where God is the one that calls the shots. The price of the blood of Jesus is your bride price. And after that price was paid, you don't have property rights with God. So he can decide what he will put you under. However, God is not a bully. He's not a tyrant. The Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. Anytime he sees in his infinite wisdom that it is needful for him to set a commandment over you, it is because he either wants to accomplish a deliverance in the future or to prepare you for things that you do not see in the current time. His commandments are not. There was a time in my life a mighty grace to fast came upon me. I still pray for it to come now, but I must confess it's not as it was. Every day I eat food, I wake up, food was detestful. So I just continue. I just continue. And I didn't know what I was fasting for. I didn't know why I was fasting. I didn't know why. I was just going. If I tried to eat, in fact, one day I tried it and I became feverish. So I knew that there was something at work. A spirit was trying to manipulate me. Hallelujah. So I continued fasting. And there was grace to fast. I was fasting. I was praying. I didn't know why I was praying like that. And most of the time, I was groaning in prayer. If I pick up for 1 hour prayer, I'm already groaning. I'm already groaning. It continued like that for a whole year. The next year, continue. January, February, March, April. It was in April that I knew why I was fasting. We went to do Bible study with one brother who is a prophet. You know him very well, so I don't want to call his name. We felt he was doing some things which were not in the Bible. So we wanted to open some scriptures to him. Bro. So that if by any means he still has regard for the authority of the word of God, he will have an opportunity to consider his ways. So we now went there. Bro now came out of his room. When he saw two of us, he spoke in tongues. Then he looked at me, began to prophesy. See, you have been praying and fasting for long. And you have been wondering why you have been fasting. God has used your prayers and fasting to destroy a lot of curses that are upon your family. I said, yeah, I wrote it down. You are holding the moon. You have a global ministry. You will preach in different nations. And most of the people that God has sent you to are white people. But now you are in Nigeria. But your feet will go to the nation. He said, God say, do not bother or think about when you will resign from your secular job. Because I see you are doing secular job. But the time will come when you'll be traveling to different places. You will no longer have time for the job. That's how you know that the time to resign had come. Now, what did we go there to do? Now, help me now. What was our mission? He has already prophesied. So if you carry Bible now, say, bro, come. Somebody that prophesied like that will leave God too. So I shook him and we left. I did not see as many visions as he saw. But while he was prophesying, I saw that he had veered off beyond where our Bible study could make any meaning to him. That's an angular shift. That's a man that has grace, but he doesn't understand that grace is for the kingdom. There's accountability in the kingdom. There is restraint in the kingdom. You see, sometimes you might even have power. He will not allow you to use it. You will not ask, okay, why did you release it? It's to test how meek you are. How gathered and settled you are in power. How positive you can be under pressure. So as you keep going with him, he keeps sucking you in the spirit. Sucking you into the spirit. And in order to, hallelujah, to make you more efficient in service, because most of your time you spend with him, when you go high, very high, he won't allow you to be doing the rounds anymore. When you come out once and you say, the gate of the devil is shut. That's all. And you go back. Witches that try to fly will not come back. So he will give you more power because he needs you more in his presence. I've seen my older days. I know the year that if I reach that year, my place is with him. I know how many years I can do the roving. And when I reach that particular year, I will come out when I need to come out. And if I come out, it will be evident that I came out. Because I'll be coming not in my name, but in the name of the Lord. The Lord will take every part of you. He will take everything for himself. That's where you are going. It's a narrow path. Not many people would like to be on it. But that path is littered with salvation. Hallelujah. Now, the Holy Ghost is coming. So we need to welcome him. Tomorrow is Saturday. Sunday. Okay, that means we'll still continue. This is our Bible study. But the Holy Ghost is coming. Meanwhile, tomorrow is not for teaching, it's a power service for miracles, for healing, for deliverance. I checked all the options. And having checked all the options, I discovered that there is nothing worthy to serve, not even myself. The only thing that is worthy to serve, the only one that is worthy to serve is Jesus. In order to serve him acceptably, I need to secure grace from him. I don't know if you have made up your mind to serve the will of God. There is only one way Nigeria will be free. It will be a task that a generation will have to take. It's a responsibility that a generation will be saddled with. The task of living for God. And any opportunity, any advantage he gives us, any office he releases us into, we do that office first of all as a service unto God. Everybody that releases himself to serve the will of God eventually by extension serves humanity. So even though humanity will come and acknowledge you, give you so many awards, but you see, that's an award, not a reward. The real person that you are serving is the one that will give you a reward. But you see, every genuine service to God will affect humankind. And God's mind is full of man. His mind is full. Hallelujah. Okay, maybe I can add one. So we have trashed that one that they said that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict of sin. We have trashed that. I have other scriptures to support to the contrary. But since we got it with those other ones, we can. Jesus, he taught, preached the kingdom. Mark chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. He preached the kingdom. And he preached salvation. This is Jesus. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee. Sorry, you still remember Luke chapter 16, verse 16? That is the terminus line between the law and grace. The Bible says that the law and the prophets were until John. And we saw that marker. All through scriptures in the book of Acts 10:37. He said, after the baptism which John preached, that's when Jesus began his ministry. And this message was noise abroad all Judea and Galilee. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You see, this scripture acknowledges that fact also. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what's the gospel of the kingdom of God? That all of us will need to be operating under God's government. We need to subscribe to God's authority. Alright? This is the gospel that he... When you begin to subscribe to God's authority, it means that God can give you an instruction. When you begin to subscribe to God's authority, God can give you a responsibility. Then if God gives you a responsibility, you now discover that you need grace to fulfill that responsibility. Seeing that we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have
grace.
Let's go. And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe. Huh? What's the gospel? Good news. The good news has come. You can stop your despair and come find how God has intended for us to enter into. He was an evangelist, bearing glad tidings, good news concerning the fact that the kingdom of God is at hand. Next scripture before we round up. Mark chapter 14. There's a long reading here. I will have to surrender that long reading so that we don't take too much time. We need to be out of here by 8 o'clock. Check it from the book of Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus came, what did he preach? Begin to read it. And you will now find that when John the Baptist was removed from the way, the full time for his ministry had come. What did he preach? He majored on the kingdom. He announced initially that the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. In the person of himself. The kingdom was already here. Don't look for it. It's already around. He now spoke about, in the book of Matthew, how to enter into it, how to participate in it. That was when he began to preach to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. That's kingdom message. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those were the kind of messages that, in fact, if there was any time there was a documentation of a real message Jesus preached, John chapter 3. Except a man be what? Born again. How better can you present the gospel? He cannot see the kingdom of God. He was preaching to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was an icon in society. And Nicodemus came to him by night and said unto him, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." It was like a commendation, an accreditation, that even though every member of the Sanhedrin will not accept that you are from God, but I represent a sect, a clique, a club in the Sanhedrin, and we have acknowledged that you are a teacher come from God. These miracles that you do, no man can do it except God be with him, and we have acknowledged. Now, you expect Jesus to say, "Oh my, I've been waiting for this commendation. Even though you came in the night, you were supposed to come in the heart of my crusades and come into the crowd and say, 'Hey, we have message. We have message from the Sanhedrin,' so that everybody will hear you. You came in the night. Well, okay. But no problem. But you came all the same to acknowledge my dexterity, to acknowledge the fact that the hand of God is upon my soul. Something great is happening with me." Jesus said, You are not born properly. You have a problem with the way you were born. And because you were not born properly, you are not a proper man. And everything you have built on it, your PhD, Sanhedrin, member of the Senate, is on a faulty foundation. So we cannot acknowledge the commendation. It is out of sync with fundamentals. But you will have to be born again in order for you to perceive the kingdom of God and identify who you are from that perspective. This is what you are in society apart from the kingdom of God. And a lot of people can achieve a lot of things in life apart from God. Go to China, you see skyscrapers, major buildings apart from God. Humankind by itself a lot of things have been done apart from God. So we are not in a gallery of achievements here. We are saying, where is the source of these things that you have produced? It did not come from the kingdom of God, because you were not born properly. And so we will not accept your certificate. Heaven will not recognize it. The man's interest, because he felt he was thorough. He was that Sanhedrin member, that Pharisee, that was a man of integrity, respected on the streets in ceremonies. And Jesus was trying to reveal a deficiency here. That was not a good... He said, how can a man be born again? Shall he enter into his mother's womb? Jesus said, if by any means you have a way to use test tube to go back to your mother's womb, if you are given birth to again, you still be flesh. Because that which is born... That was where he stopped talking. He now says, it's as if I need to hear more, not to be talking. If you come out, you will still be flesh. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It will always be flesh. You can't modify flesh. Flesh is flesh. Flesh from San Francisco is flesh. Flesh from Buruku is flesh. And some are just more educated flesh, but flesh is. Hey. The man stopped talking. That was Jesus' classical message. I hope you know that that contract will never end except that man gets born again. Jesus, that was gasping for food, needed food. Send the apostles, go to town, get me food. Suddenly, now sees a woman approaching the well. And Jesus went and sat on it. He knew that there were communal clashes with the people's tribe, that her clan sat on the well. I said, can you give me water to drink? It was not thirsty, he was looking. The woman said, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a woman of Samaria, for water to drink? And then the Bible now added in a clause, for Jews and Samaritans had no dealings in those days. And Jesus answered, if thou knowest the gift of God. Oh, Jesus. There was no man like Jesus. I've tried to... No film like Jesus. Mel Gibson failed. Oh, my God. He said, if thou knowest... What? The gift of God. And who is he that speaketh unto you? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. I was expecting the woman to ask the question, you have water? That question was already bubbling. The woman was trying to process it. He didn't allow him. He said, where is your husband? She was processing that question. I don't have a husband. And then Jesus said, you have had five husbands, and the man that you are with now, not your husband. Now, so the woman changed from Jew. After he said, I can give you living water, she changed the salutation to Sir. When he said, where is your husband? That you have had five. The man with you now, you just moved in. You don't need to do public ceremony. No need to pay bride price, because they know that the man will go. So she just moved in the night and started camping there. When Jesus gave that revelation, the woman called him, prophet. Hallelujah. Then she brought a religious matter. She said, our fathers worship God on this mountain. But you Jews say, it's in Jerusalem that we must worship. Then the great one says, a time is coming. This your mountain will be obsolete. Jerusalem will be obsolete. Worship will be in another arena. It will be heavenly places in the spirit. That's where worship will be persecuted. Then he looked at him and said, these are strong things. When Messiah comes, he will explain all this. This one has now gone beyond my... When Messiah comes, you say Messiah. Who do you think is talking to you? I am him. There was no evangelist like Jesus. He led the woman to Christ. Released power. She went, one woman evangelized an entire city. One woman. That was Jesus preaching the kingdom. And I don't know why the Bible didn't record what he preached to the men when they came. After the men were called, they said, Kai, woman, we have believed him not because of what you told us. Jesus, that they sent somebody to arrest, and the person came out empty-handed. He said, Kai, they charm you. Wait, where's the person? Say, sorry. No man ever spoke like that's the Jesus they say he preached law and grace. He brought a new order. And you know what? We are the fulfillment of everything he taught. He had us in mind. He was preaching to us too when he was preaching to the woman. Notice that his prayer that he prayed for the apostles. He said, I do not pray for these ones only. He knew that his words will not die. I pray for those that will also believe by their words. Oh my. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. Can you celebrate him because he prayed for you? Celebrate. Celebrate. He saw you through the vistas of his spirit and he uttered prayers for your preservation. Oh my. We want to take an oath of office. Me, it's a personal decision. I have decided to serve Jesus. I don't know about you. You see, the Muslims pray 5 times a day. Whether they are hungry, depressed, sad. Whether they lose their job. The Jews pray 3 times a day. Whether you sack them. Daniel prayed 3 times facing Jerusalem. Huh? At the risk of his life. What do you do every day? Whether you are depressed, you do it. Whether you are sad, whether you are broke. I will serve you. Tell him so. Tell him so. I will serve you. I will serve you. I came to say that I will serve you. I will serve you. It's a privilege to be numbered in you. It's a privilege to say your name, to stand for you in this generation, to refuse to bow down to the carnality that has taken the center stage in the church of our time. To raise the standard, to raise the standard. It's a privilege to be co-opted into these labors. The labors in the vineyard of the King. Just in case you realize that you are beautiful. Your beauty was supposed to be part of the tools with which you will serve him. Just in case you find out that you passed out with a first class degree, your intelligence was supposed to be one of the advantages with which you will serve him. We will serve your will. Kuma Santo Benehem. Make that commitment right now. Make that commitment. Make that commitment. Make that commitment. Halabo sombrehele kabedale. Asumbria la bahade bahae. Amantole kembre samandole mahaba kapasanaya ibrama santa babore mazila aito mahambala hikos kabres gabatu alaha shemantalia hikos kema sabalatua embaha. The reason for which I live is to serve his will. That's why I'm still here. I have no personal agenda, no personal ambition that I intend to accomplish. We live to serve his will. Mosa mandelo combres capatale cobasima la andalia. Roque masia tambros cabalta cumbra hamba lata menos que bregade. Barasso sana hamba lahae. Icabasanda brascatala baborea. I talk a masanda. Ebreskota bakapara naskendo minza mandalia. Koba sabarata. We will serve. Have you lost your gift? Have you lost the deposit? You have seen a depletion of your capacity, a capacity that you once had before. This will be a good time. It will be a good time for you to begin to make a fresh request. Because upon your agreement to serve His will, He is ready to empower. That's what makes Him empower men, empower women. Ilamahanda. Ilamahanda. Rasketoba sabalato bina kabriskate. Aito manda lahara. Ask for empowerment. Ask for empowerment. 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 Yes, that's why we are here. We are here to serve you. Every advantage you have given to us is supposed to translate to service, to the extension of the frontiers of your kingdom. We do nothing for our own gains, our own ambition. We serve your will. That's why we are here. Our finances, our intelligence, our beauty, our advantages, everything is to make us more resourceful in kingdom service. We will serve your will. Kova samantale bokore amarata shibraskaman salababoria simosese na halaba mantalaba sobriata babala manahana manada agaman sale manade mantalom rahaman saila esombres kabento kabalato ingobalande shibriaske bata mantalababoria ambaraske sosenala hikabatama. It's a night to contact grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. Whereby we must serve God acceptably in reverence, in godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Yeah! Umena sande la mongo mo samarandele zima makombe la manehani akamana komba umena sale Shamena combres camantela mancombala. Aya consena hembre celebonda hamadoma halabona. Hikamantana manamana manamana. Aile mamon shekena. Ibramana sombenaina. Has the devil been looking for you to kill you, to harm you? Why not commit yourself to the Lord's service? The devil does not kill anyone in active service in the Lord's vineyard. He can't kill. He can't kill anyone in God's active service. Mila kombre zamahai. Let us have grace. Mama laeta kobe. God has isolated our generation to solve the problems of our land, of our nation. Young men, young women, young boys, young girls will team up together by the grace of God to defeat the enemies that our fathers could not defeat, to put Jesus on the center stage that all nations might behold His glory. Are you part of this vision? The vision to enthrone Jesus in our generation, to put Him on the pinnacle, so that even those that strive so hard cannot but see Him glorified. Oh yes, that's why we live. But every advantage God gives you will be channeled to this end, that Him that is exalted will yet be magnified. Oh, malakomba sima zaila. Let us have grace.
Haile senakom baba jamala de gabori ma santa branda mama la mama. Oh my God. Ambre masuka mama leke maleka maleka me. Ambre masalebo. Haile nene kendahe samahande mama mama. Haile masalebo. Eka mama yeko kabahana hika sana monda. Hey, suga bahande. Glory to God. You alone are worthy of my praise and the lifting of my hands. You alone are worthy of my praise. Please accept my sacrifice. Hallelujah. 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 Masando Seneca Velina Tukeba Abre Mocosetamina Humbres Cabahala Maitoma Lacura Maselide. Thank you, Jesus. Hale, Hale, Hale. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. give it one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Listen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now listen. You see, the needs here are many. They are numerous, diverse. But God is not limited as we are. He is unlimited. Now, so can we do this? Just put your hand on him. Ushers, you can remove your own hands from your head, because you know the Bible says, "Let us have grace." That is what is about to happen. Let us have grace. Seeing that we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have it. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. So the protocol of let us have grace is what we want to initiate. And for those people that have been trusting God for the grace to be healed, the grace to be delivered, trusting God for an anointing, trusting God for all kinds of grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. God will pour out grace. He will pour out grace tonight. There will be a lot of deliverances that will take place here. Because we will have grace. Father, in the name of Jesus. You see, I'm already seeing something. I'm already seeing something. Now, if you are here, inside or outside, and you have anything to do with the water, be it initiation, see yourself in the water, or anything, any bondage that is upon your life from the water, bondage from the water, bondage from the water, God will begin to break bondages from the water. Now, you don't need to say amen. Just, Father! In the name of Jesus, if there is anybody here inside or outside that is bound by spirits from the water, today, I want to demand their release. And so inside and outside, if there are people with yokes, tied to the water. Father, let them manifest so that the yoke they carry can be broken. Father, locate anyone in, oh my God, he's coming. Locate anyone. Ushers, help me, you look outside there. Locate anyone carrying a bondage from the water in the hall, outside of the hall, let your hand begin to descend upon them. 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 Inside. Outside. Inside. Outside. Inside. Outside. Inside. Outside. Inside. Outside, inside, outside, inside, outside, inside, outside, inside, outside. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Help me find this lady I see in my vision. Help me find this lady I see in my vision. So that, my God, so that the yoke can be broken. 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 Help me find this lady. Help me find this lady. I'm still looking for another one. I'm still looking for... The one I'm looking for is on this row. It's on this row. Now, those of you on this row, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Can you see me? I'm looking for somebody from among you. Bring that one. Those of you here, can you still see me? I'm still looking for somebody from here. Still looking for somebody from here. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me find that person from here. Help me find that person. Help me find that person from here. Yes, he's coming. I sense the angel touching me. Help me find that person on this row, 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 on this row. Help me find that person. Help me find that person. Help me find the 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 person. Kurama Santo. Kurama Santalia. Kapeta Kula Mahandale. It's so brave. That's not all. I'm still looking for the person. I'm still looking for somebody from that room. I'm still looking for somebody from that room. Hey, take him. Take him forward. Now, before you set those chairs. Ale mo kapaya. Come. This is the, one of the people I'm looking for. The water. The water. But that's not all. There's still one person from that room. There's still one person from that room. Father, help me find. Help me find the person. 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 Help me find the person from this row. Father, from this row. Father, from this row. From the front to the back. From the front to the back. From the front to the back. Help me find. Help me find the person from this row. Yes, he's still here. Still here. Still here. Now listen, from here. Eh? This road here. You in the front can sit down. You stand up. From here. From here, sit down. From here, sit down. Sit down. Sit down. The person I'm looking for is within here. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me find that person. Help me find that person. Help me find that person. Help me find the person. Help me find the person. Put your hand upon the person. Put your hand upon the person. Put your hand. Holy Ghost. 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 Find them. Find them. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Bring them. Bring them. It's an emergency. 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 Ilama mama mama. It's anything that has to do with the water. We are going to ask God for further grace. But anything that has to do with the water, this is the end tonight. This is the end. Father, if there's still anybody that has any limitation coming from the water, coming from the water, coming from the water, coming from the water, inside and outside, help me isolate those people. Help me touch 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 them. Help me touch them. Help me touch them. Let every transaction with the water, which was done, maybe irrespective of the generation, let these lives be liberated tonight. If there's still anyone left, help me touch them. Okay, there's one outside. There's one outside. I see my spirit. I see my spirit. I see my spirit. Now, those of you outside, the hand of God will come on two people. There are two people I'm looking for. You have a bondage, and this bondage has its source in the river. And today is the end of that bondage. And God is going to find you. He will put his hand upon you. There are two of you outside here. Father, help me locate the two people. 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 Locate them. 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 Put your hand upon 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 Jesus. Ala la 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 makaba sama. Ala makaba. Ala makaba. Sabres kopanda halabrasketo mahalia. Father, put your hand. There are two people. There are two people. There are two people. Help me identify them. Help me identify them. Show me a sign. 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 Thank you. Now, those of you here, sit down. This row, sit down. Sit down. from that row, stand up. That which was transmitted into your body, today it will come out. It will come out. From here, sit down. From this row, sit down. The people I'm looking for, they are here. The hand of my God, Jesus. You can stop praying. You can stop praying so that I'll pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help me find the people that you have led me to. Help me find them. 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 The ones that you have led me to. The ones that you have led me to. People that see snakes in their dreams. They are being resisted by snakes. Put your hand upon them. 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 Put your hand. Put your hand. Put your hand upon them. Put your mighty hand. Every covenant with a serpent, with a snake. Every covenant with a covenant with a serpent. Covenant with a serpent. I break the yoke of the 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 serpent. I break the yoke. I break the yoke. Bring them. Can you stretch forth your hands and pray for this people? Because we cannot proceed until these ones are liberated. These ones are free. These ones are free. I'm seeing the gate, the entry point into the river is open for people to come out of. Yeah, people have to come out from the river. The gate is open. Even the queen of the coast herself has given up. And she has given up. So these lives must be blessed. Some of the issues are heritage issues. Heritage issues. Heritage issues. Heritage issues. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We refuse that this one's Jesus. Jesus. Also, can you please? We refuse that these ones will be held up in bondage.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Hope you were blessed. For more of Apostle Aramis' sermon, visit rcnsermons.org. God bless you.